CBSI on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Mary Kissel, former senior advisor to the Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, now Executive Vice President, Stevens Incorporated, to comment on the upset in Europe, the European Union, Great Britain, Australia. The general acronym is AUKUS, Australia, United Kingdom, and the United States, a triple alliance to do with containing China. However, the headlines point to anything but. I start with the Guardian headline of these last days. This is London reporting. France tries to delay EU-Australia trade deal amid AUKUS fallout. I go immediately to one other headline that seems especially relevant given where we are, which is in the London Times. It has to do with the upset in France. France warns submarine row puts Brexit talks at risk. Adding to this, Ursula von der Leyen of the European Union, the foreign minister, the person who speaks for the whole of the states, says that the conduct of France, of the United Kingdom and Australia and perhaps the United States is unacceptable because France has been disappointed, turned away from its contract with Australia to build submarines. Mary, a very good evening to you. You've visited all these countries. You've seen this interplay. Do you have an overview of why France is so upset right now? I understand its economics. I understand Emmanuel Macron, the president, is running for re-election. But this idea of using the European Union as an arbiter, is that surprising to you or logical given the bad feelings after Brexit? Good evening to you, Mary.
Good evening, John. It's great to be with you. And as it happens, I was just in France in these last days participating in the Tocqueville Conversations, which is an event that gathers together American and French leaders at the home, the ancestral home of Alexis de Tocqueville, who wrote Democracy in America. I had some very interesting exchanges on this very issue. The French are upset primarily for economic reasons, but also because they control parts of the Indo-Pacific, and that's not widely mentioned in the debate here in the United States. Why is that? Because they have territory on the western side through La Réunion and on the eastern side in New Caledonia, and they're quite active in the region, and they have similar interests to us and other free nations in preserving trade and safety and security. Now, to the matter of EU-Australia trade talks, it seems to me counterintuitive that France, as part of the European Union, would shoot itself in the foot by denying its businesses increased access to the Australian market. Now, Australia isn't large. That's true. But by the same token, it's not tiny Maldives. It is still a developed economy. So I don't know how long Macron would want to hold up talks like that. But it is clear that the French are upset, and they're demonstrating that upsetness in various ways in fora.
Driving this, Mary, of course, is the romance of France and Britain at odds again for 1,000 years now. And we know that the interchange between the countries involves at some point our Norman ancestry. So this is the family arguing over, well, what are they arguing over? Is this Brexit, Mary? Is it the long shadow of that, of the bad feelings left in Boris Johnson's government?
Well, I think Britain is taking advantage of Brexit by inking this, or participating rather in this kind of arrangement and partnership structure. And that's a good thing because we want Britain engaged in the Indo-Pacific and elsewhere with us. We can't be everywhere at once. Britain certainly doesn't have the naval power that we have, but it is an important partner militarily. So it's good to have Britain participating in AUKUS. I think for France, the question is, why are they upset? Is it just that they're upset over losing this business, which was significant for them? Or are they upset at the emerging security structures that are starting to align here between the nations of the Anglosphere? That's a different matter. And I think, you know, it would be incumbent upon the current administration in Washington to work with France and to see how we could cooperate with them. They don't necessarily have to be you know, physically a part of AUKUS, but we certainly, you know, need to utilize them in the places of the world where we are most threatened, and that includes the Indo-Pacific. So I think there was a bit of diplomatic malpractice here, but equally I think that, you know, the French are starting to understand that if they don't participate in these kinds of discussions, they're going to be left behind.
China is the centerpiece of AUKUS, the containment of China. China's going through so many changes. I don't have a paragraph to summarize what's going on other than the fact there's non-transparency. AUKUS is meant to be a response, but so is the Quad. So is ANZUS if it's used in that fashion. How do you measure these not competing alliances, Mary, but they're overlapping? And I note that I believe it's true that the Quad is having its first in-person meeting in these next days. So does AUKUS take from, augment, moot a Quad, or is there a way of them working together, given that there's two common players in both, that's the U.S. and Australia?
Well, I think they're both early in their formation, John. That's the quickest way to answer it. And it's only a good thing that the nations of the free world are starting to cooperate, not just diplomatically, but militarily. You could add to your list, by the way, the Five Eyes, which is an intelligence sharing mechanism that includes the U.S. and Australia and Britain and others. I think that you don't need necessarily formal bureaucratic structures to achieve things. And in terms of the Quad, yes, they are meeting in the coming days. This will be, I believe, the second meeting between those leaders. The Trump administration revivified the Quad by getting the foreign ministers together. The Biden administration has extended that by getting the national leaders together. They're starting to talk about how to secure supply chains. And I would expect semiconductors to be high on the list for this coming meeting. And again, that's positive because these nations are able to do more together than they can on their own. And so I think this is an incredibly positive development, and I hope to see more of it.
I want to stay with France because you had occasion to visit the wonderful country of France and also to observe the fact that Mr. Macron is running for re-election. He's a very popular figure if you look at in terms of how he presents France to the world, a modern face. He also, I understand, would embrace the idea of being a Gaullist. He was recently in Iraq. He's traveled in North Africa to the Francophile world, the world that remains of the French colonies. At this point, Mary, do you measure his presence in France as a significant factor for Europe after Angela Merkel steps down after the German elections? She clearly is the leader now. Is Macron the next candidate?
Yes, I think he's positioned to be, especially since his potential opponents aren't very compelling. It's not that he's so popular in France. He just doesn't have great competition to date. Now, that might change over the coming months. There's a man named Eric Zemmour who is on the kind of cultural and social far right who is gaining some traction. He hasn't declared yet, but he's a popular figure in France among conservatives. The conservatives themselves, Les Républicains, have been split and kind of a mess, so they're not presenting much of a challenge. And Marine Le Pen also didn't do very well in regional elections and doesn't seem to have the kind of momentum that one might expect after these years of Macron. You know, Macron has done another thing which I think is notable, John, which is that he's really pushed France out to fight Islamic terrorism in Africa in ways that we really haven't seen before. He's taken a leadership position there, and he's worked with the United States on many of those missions. In fact, they just killed a significant terrorist just in these last days. So he deserves credit for that. I think that's terrific. But, you know, he hasn't been able to really implement the kind of economic reform that France needs to get going and to address you know, the very, very sticky high unemployment that they have. That's the root of a lot of the discontent in the country. So it's going to be a really fascinating campaign, but we're still in early days.
Last note of Australia. You and I have enjoyed our conversations with Australia, and you visited more than once. You know the country well. I've only ever read about it. Australia now has a controversy because these are nuclear-powered submarines. There is a no-nuke lobby that's significant down under, Australia and New Zealand. Do you see that developing as a difficulty as this AUKUS goes forward? We have about 30 seconds, Barry.
Well, look, the reality is that Australia is a long way from anywhere. And so if you want a capable submarine force, it pretty much has to be powered by nuclear. We have cooperation with Australia already in many, many spheres. This is a natural outgrowth and an extension of the existing cooperation. And you know what? At the end of the day, Australia is an innately conservative country. It's just a very, very loud minority that lobbies against the nuclear issue. So I think that they want the jobs, they want the technology, they want the American presence, particularly as the Chinese Communist Party grows more and more dangerous.
Mary Kissel, former senior advisor to the Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, now Executive Vice President of Stevens Incorporated. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.